Let's go. You know it's baby nigga. Fuck with me, but I don't got the time. I just hopped off a private plane and went and hopped on 85. Go cut my chauffeur, bitch, cause I don't like to drive. Me and Suburban back to back and we gon' fill them up with vibes. Fill them with vibes, yeah. Get in and ride, yeah. And no, a nigga not blind, but I keep the stick and I'm fine. I met a nigga in life, just fucking with me, say he didn't, he lie. We got so many vibes stuffed in the car, we can fuck them hoes six at a time. I make them hoes say that nigga so fine, bro, he got the dick, you can feel in your spine. Yeah, that's what they say about baby. You know that them bitches don't play about baby. Baby should go run for president. Look what God did. Took a time with me. Got a red and white hoe like a peppermint. Put the hotel, take the vibes in. She gon' fuck me and fuck with my brethren. My brother know. Have them three hoes in the king side. I ain't finished yet. Get another bitch. Got a riding dick and screaming hee haw. Make me proud, girl. You a cowgirl. Did a handstand. I'm like, wow, girl. Got me fucking her upside down. Ooh, ooh. Yeah, we going dumb, say she wanna come. I'm looking like when, she looking like now. Some more came in, said they wanted two. I tell my brother, bitch, I'm out, I know. She wanna fuck with me, but I don't got the time. Just hopped off a private plane and went and hopped on 85. Go cut my chauffeur, bitch, cause I don't like to drive. Me and Suburban back to back and we gon' fill them up with vibes. She wanna fuck on me, but I don't got the time. Just hopped off a private plane and went and hopped on 85. Cut my chauffeur, bitch, cause I don't like to drive. Me and Suburban back to back and we gon' fill them up with vibes. Let's get on the jet, yeah. Come give me some neck, yeah. She ain't picking up, and her nigga just called. She gon' send him a text. I don't need no doc, bitch, you know I'm a dog, yeah. Better send me the bet, ever made you a million? I tell him, riddle me that, ain't offending me yet. My bitch drippin' Cardi, I'm in this bitch feeling like set. Caught the middle of my neck, but two on the crib, 400,000 on the whip. Dick and die on the bitch, I'm about to go buy me a coupe. Pull up, make the doors raise the roof, yeah. Louis V on me for tea, yes, sir. I buy with a pole like a true, yeah. Get in the baby Ray Allen from three. Swiss. You leave me open, I shoot, bow, bow. We like Martin and Pam at the hotel, kicking hoes, I get the boot. D.O. catching bodies, they bout it, yeah. We having new vibes in the lobby, vibes. That's wherever we go, ain't no problem. Hi. I just told the bitch, no, she was child. She wanna fuck with me, but I don't got the time. Just hopped off a private plane and went and hopped on 85. Go cut my chauffeur, bitch, cause I don't like to drive. Me and Suburban back to back and we gon' fill them up with vibes.
Verbose.xyz tonight. Can't even fuck with this. We got all the fucking shit going down. It is Wednesday, my dudes, and we are here again. Three deep tonight, and I'm proud to say it. Myself, Miles Lowroad, the mad scientist, the sysadmin, the brown guy that's a token on Crafter Show. To my right is Crafter, a.k.a. My Dick Run Hot, a.k.a. Black Jesus, a.k.a. 2-for-1 at Arby's Special. How you doing tonight, boss?
Feeling them vibes, man. Feeling them vibes.
Same with a Z. And then to my left tonight, we have the powerful Ho, community member and owner of FAP, the most outrageous Doom community in all of existence. Also a staunch Trump supporter tonight. And we wanted to have her on the show for some perspective. How are you doing tonight?
Doing well. How about you, Mr. Miles?
Doing good. Glad to be here. We got a lot to cover tonight. A lot is going on in the world. But I want to take a few steps back and be like, bro, have you heard that fucking that Fat Joe song? Because we like talk about Fat Joe from time to time. And it's like, yeah. Where the fuck did that guy go? And now he's back. I didn't even realize it until tonight.
And he's still dropping N-bombs. How can this guy of Hispanic descent just drop N-bombs nonchalantly and no one's offended? Why am I not allowed to say this? Why?
Cuban. He's Cuban, right?
Yeah, like, he's not black. That's for sure.
he's black on the inside.
I mean,
isn't that what counts?
I mean, and he grew up in black culture, so maybe that's allowed. But I mean, like Eminem's not allowed to say it. Why is Fat Joe allowed to say it?
Eminem's not allowed to say it.
No.
Do you think he says it on his own?
I think he has. I've heard him say it on a couple of his songs for sure.
Interesting.
We need a Gary. Hey, Gary, yeah. Google if Eminem uses the N-word.
Right, exactly. Joe Rogan has his Jamie. We need a Gary.
Yeah.
Fucking fuck you, Joe Rogan.
Fuck you.
Toe Rogaine.
Yeah, bald motherfucker.
And it's not because I hate him. You know what I mean? I don't fucking hate Joe Rogan.
I'm jealous of his whole life and his body and his jobs and everything about him. He's who I want to be.
Yeah, except he's gay. He's probably gayer than you.
I mean, if I have to suck a couple dicks to be Joe Rogan, I mean, you know, so be it.
Huh. Interesting. I don't know if I'd go there, man. Maybe you actually gay.
I'm gay. It's cool.
As but long as you say no homo.
Yeah, as long as I say no homo after I swallow his load.
Is it like this low homo? Low
homo. No homo.
Yummy dick, bro. Really keeping it clean, no homo. Yeah, so fucking that took a gay turn. That's fucking amazing. But yeah, so fucking Fat Joe, after so long, we talked about his ass. And then fucking, of course, he coming out there with Nicki Minaj's better half, fucking Cardi B, like right off the bat.
Yeah, with some new ass tattoos, too. I saw bright red, fresh ink right on the ass.
Bro, it's so good, dude. She drop it like it hot. I mean, I would pay like $5 to get a strip from fucking Cardi B. And that's me going there, drinking soda, just staring at ass, trying to like ignore shit, just so I could look at titties. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you pay $5, but you leave without your wallet.
Yeah, and like a zero memory and a hangover in the morning. Not because I drank anything, but someone snuck something into my Coke. Cardi B. Do we talk about that movie Hustlers yet?
I don't really want to. I'm scared. I'm scared.
I mean, it just seems like a biography of Cardi B's life.
I mean, maybe this is the racist in me saying it, but like, I feel it's a movie, even if it was good, even if it was entertaining, it's like, it's saying that crime is okay as long as it's a woman of you know, a minority, a woman of color. Is that
true? There's white strippers in there that be fucking sticking it to the man.
Oh, see, I haven't watched it. I'm just being racist. Yeah.
I actually sat in the theater for that one. I sat around people that were like, this is going to win a fucking Oscar, man. This is going to be an award. Is that what they win? I give like zero shits about award shows. I forget whether like Emmy or Oscar is like movie or not. I don't fucking know. I think Oscar is like TV show, right?
Oscar's movie.
Okay. So yeah. They're talking about fucking, Hustlers fucking winning. Yeah. An Oscar. Blows my mind.
It just looks trashy to me.
Dude, the best.
I just don't understand what the appeal is.
Yeah, I mean,
I could understand the appeal of butthole.
And to be fair, that movie has something for everything. I mean, you get to see Lizzo's titties in that.
I mean, isn't that scary?
That's amazing.
You know,
it was amazing. She got like triangular hangers. You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
They're not like hangers, like, like clothes hangers. It's more like they hang in such a way that they make them look kind of like triangles hanging off her chest.
Do you also get to see J-Lo's Swing Low Sweet Chariots?
I mean, dude, she tight as fuck for like being 72. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The pussy wrinkle, but the body look good.
Yeah. But I mean, she only got like one line of roast beef, dude. You know what
Damn.
I'm saying?
Damn.
I don't know that for a fact. Anyways. been drinking some kombucha today out of a can, which I think is funny. I thought it was supposed to be kept in glass. Shout out to the people at Hum. You make a very delicious kombucha in a can. USDA organic. What does that even fucking mean? Isn't everything of organic material?
I don't know anything we're drinking of inorganic material.
Right, or eating, right? Or that, you know, that we come in contact with.
I mean, maybe McDonald's. Maybe what McRib for McDonald's.
Bruh, I'm telling you, dude. One McRib equals 10 years off of your life. I don't think I've actually ever had a McRib.
They are back for a limited time, everybody. Pumping McDonald's. Shout out to McDonald's. Give me some money.
Give me money or give me death. In this case, both.
Yeah, it looks like both.
Interesting. So that's kind of that'd be an interesting segue into this. Like, as a, and I hate to pick on you, Ho, but like, we've been dying for this moment. Like,
sure.
Crafter and I are too close together politically to ever have any dissent on the show, and it ends up being like this jerk off fest between the two of us.
Yeah.
The end being jizzing our final thoughts. But as a Trump supporter or someone that tends to lean more right, how do you feel about the ideas of climate change? As far as a scientific base of information, I don't want to say whether it's true or fact or theory, but like as a basis of information, as what you've seen that's presented out there, what do you think about climate change?
Well, you know, honestly, I haven't put a lot of thought into it. I just think some of the things are a little absurd, like the cow farting, for example.
You know, my God, yes.
I mean, yeah. That's not going to go away. People are still going to want their hamburgers and milk. So, I mean, I had
two hamburgers tonight. I'm just saying.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, and speaking of which, the hamburgers, and I'm going to go on to a little tangent here. You know, I'm in Austin right now, right? This is the new California.
Keeping it weird.
Yeah, keeping it weird. So they're really big on to certified, all grain-fed, organic beef and stuff like that. You know, when I want a burger, I just want a burger. I don't care what it's from. I just want it juicy, and you don't need to sell it to me like being healthy, organic, or whatever. I just want a freaking burger, Austin. And the best burger I found is called Lebowski's, and it's at the Highland Bowling Alley.
Shout out to the Highland Bowling Alley. Yeah. Fucking having a burger named after the Big Lebowski. That's fucking
nice. Yes, it's awesome. It's awesome. I don't know what part of the cow it's from, but it's a good part. So be as it may. Climate change. You know, I haven't really put a lot of thought into it, to be honest with you, but I have something that did resonate with me was the founder of the Weather Channel.
Yeah. What the fuck is his name? I was just looking at this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's the left has coined like the godfather of climate change denial.
Yeah. Well, he said it was bullshit.
He went on CNN and said it was bullshit.
Yeah.
Gary, look up the guy from the Weather Channel who retired.
This guy has made it like his life, and he's made a whole entire channel dedicated to it. And I'm like, man, if you say it's bullshit, it's bullshit. I just, I think it's exaggerated. And I know that I've read articles where, and I've heard seminars online and stuff like that, where some folks have been down to Antarctica and they went to a station down there. If anything, it's getting, they're getting colder, not hotter. And they say it's bullshit. So I'm not really sold that we should be, you know, I can understand like maybe man has had an effect on it. That's a possibility that I'll entertain, but I've not seen any evidence of that. But then again, I haven't been honestly looking either. So, but I'm.
Is his name John Coleman?
I'm not sure of his name, but I can Google it for you. I could be your Joe Rogan sidekick. who was his name again?
For verbose, it would be Gary.
Gary, you could call. Yeah. Okay.
I think I found it. There's a pretty good clip of this guy too, John Coleman, fucking on CNN, just like tearing. Matthew? What the fuck?
Oh yeah, it is John Coleman. Yep. Yeah. And rest in peace. It looks like he passed away in 2018.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. Yeah, wish you were still here giving fucking people shit.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but that does that segue into that Greta girl?
I mean, come on, like, I mean, we could talk a lot about Greta. But at the same token, I feel bad because she's just like, you know, she suffers from a lot of mental.
Yeah.
God, I just am going to say it. She has a lot of like mental disorders.
What?
She's being propped up by
She's propaganda. She's being.
Yeah, exactly.
Propaganda. And she's got a very she's got the face for it. You know, the kind of.
Well, she's got the facial expressions. I mean,
yeah, she does.
She goes out there and she'll make you feel ashamed.
Yeah.
That you ever ate a hamburger. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dude, we need to
find her and just eat a hamburger in front of her.
And I don't want to pursue Greta whatsoever. I think that she should go home and like join public school and do her best to like become, you know, socialized in a proper way, and that sure. She should stay as far away from a camera as possible. I mean, sure. Watching some of the footage of her talking with paparazzi, it's sad. It's like, wow, she's just tired and doesn't want to be there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just kind of staring at her adults like, please take me away from this.
Right.
It's just sad. And I think that's the travesty of it all. Like, we have to prop, you know, young girls like this up to make a point and to, like, fucking guilt everybody into feeling a certain way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, go ahead.
I think it's just like, it's more eco-funding. It's another, it's like an inconvenient truth for Al Gore that just was another way to raise money. Or Greenpeace, yeah, which has been around for a long time. You know, saving the world, saving the fucking whales. Did they save any fucking whales? Did they save any of the fucking earth? They took in, you know, millions of dollars in donations. So what happened? What happened to the money? And I feel like this is another one of those things. It's trying to pander to the small person, to leave the corporations and the actual people responsible for most of the pollution, just, you know, still not held responsible, and leave the normal citizens holding the bag.
That's so funny that you say that, because in both situations of, like, saving the whales and the environment crisis, you could look at the United States, and we give lots of money to that. I'd say not just the United States, but, like, the, you know, first world countries, you know, tend to care about that a lot. But then, like, you look at China. And much like whales, they don't fucking protect whales. They fucking slaughter that shit for their use. Same thing with the environment. They slaughter that environment so that they can pump out cheap shit and fucking use slave labor to make money. Like, they have their tendrils and everything. I was watching some stupid documentary on Netflix the other day, or maybe it was yesterday, of fucking how honey has been influenced so much. And part of the reason why the prices kind of stay the same, and as bee colonies die off, we still have a higher demand and it's being met higher and higher every year, is because China discovered that you could take simpler syrups from, like, wheat or corn, let's say, and then fucking dilute that into your honey and then ship it out by the, you know, the trillions of fucking barrels. And you saturate the market with this, like, hybrid honey that just kind of stretches things out and makes more money for you. Like, it's like every little thing, even fucking our food, you know, like every fucking piece of technology you hold in your hand, it's like inflated by this crazy market that also is a detriment to our own health and environment. Why aren't we looking at these countries, is what I mean.
Right.
Or just these massive, you know, multinational corporations. They're really responsible for most of the issues that we're having, and lack of enforcement that has really kind of, you know, lack of enforcement, monopoly laws, and making a real free market capitalist society, allowing just a few players to control majority of everything, I think is really what's holding everything back.
That's what, yeah, totally. And that's why I'm like, you can't fucking tell me that government doesn't play nice with big business, because it's under the shroud of government they hide these big businesses so that they can get their, you know, they can use nepotism to keep the money sustained for a very small amount of people. A lot of people have the ideas, you know, it's just a question of being able to attain the resources.
Yeah. And I feel like the idea of America was to break away from that kind of system, a caste system, or a system where a certain family is allowed to rule over you for generations, like how England has been run since the beginning. You know, I mean, it's just a line of the same bloodline. And I think that's what we're supposed to break away from. And instead, the people with large amounts of money have tried to guarantee that to happen.
Isn't Trump a Rothschild? Like, if you wanted to go back and, like, kind of trace his money?
I haven't traced his money at all. But, I mean, I wouldn't be too surprised.
And is that a bad thing, Ho, if he goes back to, like, some sort of, you know, over-proportionate, like, 1% or family involved in, like, big banking and betting on both sides of the war for years? I guess decades, hundreds of years. What's that? Centuries. Yeah, that's it. That word.
I don't know. But if, you know, if he's a generational 1%er, then they've been very smart with their money. And to be smart with your money, you have to play the game very, very carefully. I would just hope, and, you know, there's no proof here or there that you would do anything that would, you know, be, I could see borderline potentially criminal on some cases or ethical. But I would think that, you know, doing anything cruel, that's what I would frown upon.
Interesting. I don't know. I don't think that, but and Crafter and I have gone round and round about in this, and I don't think that Trump necessarily, President Trump, I want to say President Trump, because everyone else in me is like, Mr. Trump. I'm like, you fucking assholes. You might hate him to death, but he is your president.
Ha! Right.
President Trump may not be, you know, all that he's crapped up to be as far as what he talks about in business, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of what he's done has actually failed. And it seems to me, especially now more exposed to the, you know, to the public eye as far as being, like, you know, commander in chief and shit, mm-hmm. that he may not, his failures may not matter, and he might be propped up by some sort of backer or some sort of interest, you know. You follow them. Go ahead.
But he's, you know, he's admitted, you know, with some of, because he has gone bankrupt a couple times, but he has used the laws to pick up when he falls down. And so there is a method to his madness that I am sure of, you know.
But I mean, is that all on him?
There's a strategy to it.
I just feel like you don't become president unless you're licking someone's boots. You know,
That's a reason. One of the reasons why I like him is because obviously there's not a hell of a lot of people that can control him. I have no doubt that. You know, there are things that, because he's in the one of the highest positions of power on earth, that he can shift things in his favor. I have no doubt about that. But as far, I mean, as far as who he would be accountable to, it's very few and far between from what I've seen. And that's the reason why the Democrats hate him so much, is because they can't control him. And they want him out because they can't control him.
I will admit it is a witch hunt from the beginning. Mm-hmm. But at the same token, I think that the whole witch hunt distracts from the finer points of why I don't think Trump is doing great for our country. I mean, we'll get into it, but sure. I mean, like... I just think foreign policy, a lot of it is, especially with the Middle East, we're not going about this the right way. I think there's a lot of mixed signals being sent, and I think that recent events are going to create a lot of destabilization in areas that our allies are still a part of. Mm-hmm. I also think that if we're going to focus on us, we truly got to focus on us and mm-hmm. stop putting our energies towards some sort of end of day scenario in fucking Israel. And by the way, Saudi Arabia, their whole religious structure is run by Hezbollah. And I'm tired of Fox News being like, oh, Hezbollah is the meanie. That's all Iran. No, that's fucking Saudi Arabia too. Just saying. But yeah, I don't know. I think that, it's easy to be like, okay, cool, we finally have this president, it seems outside of the box, but I don't think you get to that level of money without being, you know, part of the swamp to a certain extent.
No, I agree. I think that you can't totally and completely separate yourself from it. And there is going to be some give and take, but I do like how he's really stirring the pot and really, really showing these the left their true nature. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse until the next election cycle, because they do not want him for another 4 years. But I can't think of any candidate that they have right now that would win over him. Pocahontas? I don't know.
Well, I think the environment has just changed as of like a couple days ago. But at the same token, it hasn't changed what's being presented. And it's just a question of what crapshoot the you know, what lesser of two evils we invite into this election. What do you think, Crafter?
I mean, in this election cycle, it is showing that the left is stumbling horribly. They're driven by anger and hate. They're actually considering putting Joe Biden up as the front runner, and that's just fucking asinine. I mean, how many videos of this guy like sniffing little girls' hair and just making asinine comments and not realizing his mic's on? I mean, like, he just makes so many mistakes. The whole thing with Hunter Biden and Joe in Ukraine. I mean, I feel that all of those politicians have been breaking the law willingly, using their positions to fucking make huge gains privately. Huge things that we really need to look at as a country that's to end corruption. And these guys are all part of it. And that's who the Democratic Party is putting up as a front runner right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
That's crazy to me.
I also personally believe that Trump was doing the same, and his campaign was doing the same in Ukraine, with Donald Trump Jr. there, from Melania being from there, many meetings with multiple business executives there, that his campaign manager, you know, pled guilty to tax evasion for $3 million in profit from Ukraine. So I believe Trump and other politicians were involved there as well. That's why probably Trump even knows why Joe Biden did something. But I feel like it's a big problem in all of politics. And all sides are very corrupt. They're using their public position to make money privately, which I don't think as American citizens we should stand for. That it's supposed to be a public servant position and not a private practice of ways to generate money.
Mm, indeed.
Well, you guys realize that historically there isn't one single government that I can think of that ran so clean that no one was corrupt. I mean, we could look at Rome. We can look at the Renaissance period with the monarchs. Every single government entity has their share of corruption. And, you know, it makes shows like, what is that one with Kevin Spacey on Netflix, House of Cards?
Yeah.
So believable. I really, truly believe that's how it's running in there, and I think it probably is worse on how greedy and selfish these politicians are on both sides of the aisle, by the way.
Shout out to Alex Jones. He's got his own character on that show. Just saying.
Does he really?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, that's how deep it goes. That's how much that show is kind of a reflection of what goes on in media and government in actuality, is that they have their own, like, deep state shill fucking... sold out to the Shy... No, not Shy Coms. Who are the Jews?
I'm kidding.
Jew CIA, what is that called? Mossad.
Mossad.
Yeah, he's, you know, they have their own character like that in House of Cards.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
I think to what Crafter was saying, I think it's just the nature of the thing. Everybody vies for power. When you're in a powerful position, so I can't think of anybody who is squeaky clean that's on both sides of the aisle. I think at one point in time in anybody's career, as clean as you want to be, there is an offer that, you know, you take someone up on that is borderline or really corruptible, and then once you take the bait, you know, you gotta report to that person. So you're.
I mean, the problem kind of with comparing it, you know, to all those other countries is all those other countries collapsed, and if that's what we're aspiring to, isn't that what we're headed towards?
Well, I mean, I think all this tension that's building up. You know, it is kind of scary because we are, I mean, they are the left side, Beto is and Warren are looking to take away our guns. So they are trying to revoke some of the free rights that we have right now. We as a people just can't let them do that.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's true.
And I always speak from like a libertarian point of view, and I think we should have guns, we should have drugs, we should have very little government involvement in our lives. They should be more of a regulatory thing to stop corruption and stop businesses from, you know, not competing with each other and colluding with each other for price fixing. And that's where the government really should be, is, you know, looking out for the normal citizen.
You know, one question I ask people on the left is, what does the government, what do they do right? What kind of program do they do that's reliable? You know, and
that's a really tough question.
They can never give me a one program that does. And here's another thing to ponder, gentlemen. If, you know, people are worried about Social Security going, you know, dissipating, but they don't worry about welfare dissipating.
It's like, I think it's very interesting how it's kind of two extremes. Like, welfare is like younger, poor, uneducated, right? Whereas Social Security is like old boomer to like greatest generation dying off. Please take care of me in my last days.
But either way, you get a stipend from the government, but no one's worried about the welfare going away. They're worried about Social Security going away.
Yeah. I don't know. That speaks volumes of so many things. We could go into depth about like how like esoterically or like psychologically that's like man's worry of the unknown of death, you know, like feeling your own mortality. Like you want that kind of comfort on your way out.
Or it just comes down to just pure generational abuse. And Greta's right. I mean, you know, we're feeling the guilt, but it's really blaming, you know, the generation right before us and before them, you know, their, you know, unwillingness to do testing and just willy-nilly decide new things to make without thinking of consequence. It's kind of generational abuse. I mean, you know, Social Security system was put in place in the 30s. The gold standard was left in 69. I mean, were those two decisions ever thought of together? Who knows?
So far, I don't see much dissent here. Thought there would be a lot more dissent between the three of us. I guess not. We will get
into the thick of it. We didn't get right into the Trump issues, really. You know, what campaign promises do you feel, you know, Trump has maintained?
Well, he has started to work on the wall, and I think he. I think the problem is, I mean, the Democrats are fighting tooth and nail for immigration reform. I want immigration reform, and I'm perfectly fine with people coming into America legally. My new roommate, she hails from China. She just came in. She graduated from Yale. China. She graduated from Yale and she's here on a student visa. And, you know, she actually likes Trump. So I was like, whoa, really? And she's like, yeah. You know, becoming an American citizen, it's tough and it's a challenge. And kudos to people who, you know, wait a couple of years to do it. They go through the motions and do it. I'm perfectly okay with that. You know, I want you on the system. I want you registered. So we know that you're not a trafficker or whatever. And I want that immigration reform. It's just that, the Democrats are so focused on tearing down Trump. They're not focused on anything but that. I haven't seen a lot of movement, you know, towards a positive immigration reform coming up at all. But I do know he's made his promise about the wall. I do.
Except for Mexico paying for it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was Cruz that, you know, El Chapo, we seized his assets. And it's in the billions. I wanted El Chapo's assets to pay for the wall. I think that would be awesome.
That'd be cool. Also, tariffs would have been okay with me, too.
Yeah.
However, I think that went to the wayside in favor of, like, good relations. Plus, I feel like Mexico did beef up their security on the border.
And that would affect a lot of U.S. companies, you know, GM, Nintendo, and Intel. A lot of them have factories down in Mexico, and you know that's directly affects U.S. business, not Mexican business.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right.
Crazy to think the interconnection like that. It's like the international ideas of the 1%. Like, 1% is just this fucking virus, this thin spread virus throughout all countries, spreading its oppression. Well. This has been fun so far. I'm having fun. You guys having fun? I'm having fun.
Sure.
Fucking verbose.xyz hanging out tonight.
I also wanted to say, going back to Trump on his campaign or whatever, just a little thing. I think the other thing, guys, I'll be the first to admit, when he said that he was going to run, I laughed. I full head tilt to the back, laughed out loud, and thought, oh my God, you know, the debates are going to be so much fun. You know, he's going to be all about him. Well, he was, but he's going to be all about him. And, you know, it's just going to be just terribly entertaining. And I had no idea. I mean, when out of all the candidates back in 2015, 2016, he worked his ass off. He was campaigning. I don't know where he gets the energy at his age.
Adderall.
I don't have that energy.
Adderall.
He worked his ass off. And I mean, the he came out with his red hats, you know, that marketing was good.
Have you seen his blue hats? The ones that say make Israel great again?
No.
Those ones are good.
Classic. But, you know, and then, you know, the thing about it is I already thought, you know, that night he was going against Hillary. I already resigned and thought, okay, well, Hillary's going to be our next president. You know, I know he worked really, really hard and I was pretty pleased with him. And I think the other thing, the reason why I liked him so much is because I got really tired of people from the left, you know, looking at me with that smug expression on their face and trying to put me in my place because I had a different opinion and saw things differently than they did.
I feel like that's why Trump got elected in the first place.
Yeah. And I will admit that's part of the reason why I went to and I gave him my vote is because that was a big F you to every friend that, you know, and I say friend in quotations that because it was such a hateful place where they were coming from, where they just kind of wrote me off because I wasn't completely 100% on Hillary. I mean, Hillary, man, she's one of the most disgusting candidates it can come up with. I mean, she was just completely and utterly flawed. And here they were saying, well, she would be the first woman. Big freaking deal.
I found this message on the ground. It seems to be pizza related.
Yeah, Podesta emails. I mean, Hillary would have been a great candidate up to the point where she was a senator. As soon as she became Secretary of State in Obama and all the crazy shit she got herself involved in there and all her connections to the CIA and all the other crazy things and all her corruption, I mean, it was a horrible candidate. It was a horrible choice. But when she was a senator from New York, that was still – she was still had a respectable – you know, she didn't have any huge things besides the Monica Lewinsky scandal. But, I mean, after the Obama administration – she was,
oh my God,
unelectable.
Benghazi, dude.
Yeah.
Benghazi was like the icing on the cake at that point.
The Democrats refused to see that. If the Democrats would have went the right way and chose Bernie, that he would have had a chance to defeat Trump.
But that's the other thing, guys. That's the other thing. At the freaking DMC conference, they put in white noise machines to drain out the Bernie Sanders crowd. They put in white noises where the and there's video evidence of that where I mean, they really just screwed him over. Yeah. How in the hell can you get on board with a party that treats, you know, their counterpart like that?
I just want to give perspective. Oh, go ahead. Good.
I mean, you saw it everywhere. You saw it in public. You saw so many Bernie bumper stickers. It was right. Just as much as Trump. It would have been a real a chance, not the corruption that we saw from Hillary.
Right.
Mm. Indeed. And we have to keep in mind, like, you know, it's really the left makes it really easy to focus in on them and their retardania, but the right has it as well. It as well, big time. And it's the scarier types. It's this don't give a fuck about you or the world in general. And, you know, we want to make money, you know, off of your slavery. And that's done through your consumption and your paying attention to us.
I need some context, Miles. What were you talking about when you say that?
Oh, wow. Did I just tangent that? I think I did just tangent that. Well, okay. Like, if we look at the deep state as far as, like, environmental concerns, sure, our economy is looking good right now, and there's a lot of jobs. But a lot of that came from coal and lessening of regulations on fracking and a lot of things like this. Mm-hmm. Sure, fracking makes a lot of money, and I can't talk shit about fracking living in New Mexico. You know, if we were to open up areas like Chaco Canyon, it would be a lot of money for people, a lot of jobs, and hopefully, like, the native areas that were being fracked,
one and done.
You think? But I mean, how?
Fracked twice.
Right, exactly. But yeah, you move to different areas, right? But yeah, that is absolutely correct. And that area, you know, the shit they're pumping into the ground, no one wants to talk about that. No one wants to talk about radioactive isotopes found in these areas after fracking is being done. Like, mm-hmm. This is super concerns. Like, Oklahoma, there's areas where literally their water lights on fire now. Like, you could put a fucking lighter on your tap water and that shit lights on fire. There's earthquakes in places that haven't been going on. And by lessening regulations in the EPA, this is a lazy way to make money and create a bubble in our economy when in actuality, this isn't sustainable.
No, I'm on board with that. If that's the case, and I haven't really been paying attention to that, be honest with you, I guess we just need to buy Greenland.
Yeah, let's do it. Trump, buy Greenland.
What do you think about the impeachment? I mean, now that some Republicans have supported, like, namely, like Mitt Romney.
Well, that's the only one I've heard of.
It's just a diversion.
Mitt Romney has magical underwear, though. He has magical underwear. There's no way he does. Lie. You know,
he does. Mormon and God. He's probably had sex through a sheet too.
Yeah.
I think Trump is having a blast because they're trying way too hard. They're grasping straws, man.
They definitely are. And then even the left news, MSNBC, CNN have been editing things to try to make him look more angry than he has been. And it's usually the same kind of rhetoric he's had with the press as usual. Mm-hmm. But I mean,
that is true.
This one is really being built up. And it seems like there's a lot of CIA connections to this, which is, I guess, not too shocking when he's been bringing up, you know, that he's fighting the deep state and that, you know, all the CIA connections with Hillary. I mean, do you think that possibly, you know, his deep state fight in QAnon is real?
Oh, my God. I just shit and farted and came at the same time as soon as you said that.
Oh, that's an image. I think Trump has something big up his sleeve, and he's waiting for the perfect time to pull it out. And no pun intended. But I think
orange dick.
But I think he has something major that's going to. Because I have no doubt he's been collecting information. I think he's got something really, really big on the pride, but he's going to time it just right just before the next election. And I think that's the reason why the Dems want to impeach him so bad, is because they don't want him to reveal what dirt he's got. And I think he's got shit on Obama.
Who doesn't? Tulsi Gabbard fucking came back with shit from Syria with shit on Obama. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Obama probably, after doing a little bit of research, fucking pumping my brain with this, it seems like a lot of what's the destabilization in the Middle East and like ISIS terrorism, that was propped up by Obama administration.
Arab Spring, yeah. All that stuff. It was, ISIS was funded by Obama administration. Hillary got weapons to them from Libya. I mean, the connections are deep. They continued to fund this to make an enemy. You know, like George W. Bush was blamed for creating a war, but Obama administration definitely made a way to continue it. And it seems like, I feel like the CIA was deeply involved.
Yeah.
I mean, you compare the two presidencies, like Trump to now and, 8 years of Obama, you could really look deep and be like, holy shit, like, I guess the money-grubbing, fucking power-hungry, egotistical Donald Trump ain't as bad as, like, the tendrils of, like, a continuation of George W. into Obama. Like, that, those are some dark years, and we were fed a bill of goods to, like, fucking, you know, give a lot of our rights up, and I think it's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking bullshit, man.
I can't tell you, man, I voted for Obama his first term.
Same.
When I get approached by a liberal and they're, you know, they find out that I like Trump, and I'm like, guys, I voted for Obama the first term, man. Because they thought, you know, they immediately want to go to the racist crap. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, I voted for Obama. I don't care. I was inspired by his hope and change. And that's what I was hoping for. I liked his message. And you know what he did? Nothing.
Hmm. Interesting.
Nothing. Not a damn thing that I can remember.
Interesting. If you're tuning in for the first time, we're verbose.xyz. Thank you for showing up. Powerful Ho, this has been an awesome conversation thus far. I'm really excited about this next segment for us. This is the part of the show where we start going into more clips. But I feel like we've had, this is Crafter's favorite part, clips. But I feel like we've hashed out some ideas here. And again, I don't feel too much divergence in our ideas. We could definitely say that if we looked closer and wanted to nitpick on Ukraine, like, why are you trying to get it? I mean, the one thing that can resonate from all of that is you literally were looking for dirt on one of your political opponents.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just money. Okay. This isn't like guns and warmongering, you know, this is just money.
This ain't Hillary shit. You know, this is money.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it is corruption. And this speaks to what you were saying earlier, Ho. Like, you know, every government has corruption. It's like, how much are you willing to bring into your life? How much are you willing to propagate? How much are you willing to accept?
Right. And I'm with Crafter. I think, you know, I don't think anybody's innocent of it. And, but it depends on the level of corruption. It's more like that, you know, who's more corrupted than the other. And I think I think all the politicians are corrupted to a point.
One of these politicians more corrupt than the other.
No, exactly.
I have one more important question. What about the Syria pullout? How do you feel about that?
I have not.
Let me give you some context really quick.
Yeah, please.
I actually have a clip. Yeah, I was going to start off with some angry Joe Biden, but we can go back. Let's go into Syria. Actually, this one, this is a pretty mundane, or I want to say nonpartisan. It's just kind of giving you the facts. This is out of Sky News. Which is probably left-leaning, but this will at least give you an idea of what's going on right now.
Disney.
With Trump pulling out. And this happened, I think, 2-3 days ago. He pulled out the rest of the troops in Syria.
Right.
So here you go. This is Sky News. Turkey starts ground offense into Syria.
All right.
This evening, the streaks of artillery lit the sky of this border town. The Turkish army hitting Kurdish targets just inside Syria. The strikes began just after 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the first targets, Tal Abyad. Until Sunday, it was a Kurdish and U.S. military observation post.
Now Kurdish worked with the U.S. out,
allowing the Turks to demonstrate they are now taking control here, despite global calls for them to hold back.
But they fought ISIS, but the Turks consider the Kurds show the impact terrorists. Of
the strikes. The Kurds claim there have been civilian casualties, There is no independent confirmation of that yet. Turkish jets have been in the air too. Without leaving Turkish airspace, they can still strike Kurdish targets on the other side. From positions in the Turkish town of Akçakale, we heard booms of artillery as they hit what Turkey says are YPG militia positions, the Kurdish fighters they've long wanted to destroy. But they are the same fighters who have, alongside the Americans and the British, been pivotal in fighting the Islamic State terror group. Turkish President Erdogan was briefed on the operation, and these images are designed to boost his popularity, a commander-in-chief and in charge. Ground forces will now follow the artillery over the border. As they headed south, they passed support. This operation is popular here. The people share their president's view that the Kurdish fighters are terrorists.
The Turkish continue to insist that as a responsible NATO member, they are not invading, they're not annexing. Civilians are not the target. The motive, they say, is to create a temporary safe zone. But to do that, they will need to redraw the map, confronting and defeating the Kurdish Syrian militia over there.
It is something they've long wanted, yet it risks more chaos in a country that's been battered for years. In the hours before the strike started, Syrian Kurdish civilians were on the streets, calling for international support to halt the strikes. The people here feel abandoned by the United States. And in an interview with Sky News just before his base was evacuated, a spokesman for the Kurdish fighters said the people here would voluntarily be human shields.
The people are already working and moving towards the border area in order to create a human shield against any Turkish invasion. And
Jesus fucking Christ, man.
Everyone is also working to prepare itself for any future operation.
Yeah. And so a decision by Donald Trump at the weekend to move his troops out of the area has given space for his ally Turkey.
Okay, maybe this is partisan.
His other ally, the Kurds. A new dangerous strand of the long, bloody Syrian war is now underway. Mark Stone, Sky News, on the Turkey-Syria border.
Yeah, that's fucking... Trump pulls the rest of the troops out of Syria. I think it was only like 50 left, to be honest. But he's been doing it gradually for some time now. And now that they've been completely removed, this is the result as of today, actually, I think this post came.
Yeah. It's about 2,000 troops.
Yeah, okay. Donald Trump, President Trump, sorry, I'm trying to be more correct here, more accurate. President Trump, in his own words, said it was about 50 troops. I have it in a clip, interestingly enough. The group, the news outfit that you wouldn't expect to be anti-Trump in any sort of way, kind of started sounding like CNN in a lot of ways today. Fox News, that's another thing that is very interesting to me as far as like the right is concerned, right? They're very concerned about making their money through warmongering, like this leftover, piece of, a really early post 9/11 world where Halliburton was king. And it seems like both sides pander to that for some reason because of the money involved. But you lose me on the right with that shit. But regardless, you see where CNN and Fox News kind of converge with their ideas of like warmongering. So this is a clip from Fox News. It's called Turkey Launches Attack Against U.S. Allied Kurds in Syria. So, yeah, anyways, let's go with this. Here you go.
The Reuters Bureau Chief for Turkey, Dominic Evans, who's live with us now from Istanbul. Dominic, thank you. And can you speak to what Jennifer just said, this possibility of those ISIS fighters, some 10,000 of them, potentially being released?
Well, there are a huge number of ISIS fighters being held by the SDF forces. Those are the Kurdish forces that were allied with the United States and have been fighting with U.S. support against Islamic State in Syria for the last 2 years. They have got thousands of captives in their territory. What is not clear at this stage is how many of those are being held in facilities that are within the area that the Turkish armed forces will be going into. Turkey has said initially What it wants to do is create a security zone that's about 20 miles deep inside Syria. Its main target has been the Kurdish YPG forces there. But if it goes much further, it is likely to come into areas where ISIS captives are being held.
What can you tell us the latest on the invasion that's happening now and the status of civilians in that area?
Painting the picture, shit's bad over there.
This is developing as we speak. I mean, the first we heard about this was about 4 o'clock local time, about 6 hours ago, when there were sounds of explosions at two Syrian border towns right on the border with Turkey. Since then, we've learned about strikes in several other towns, one of them about 20 miles inside Syria. And two others on the extremes, if you like, of this long 300-mile strip, border strip between the two countries, so off to the east and to the west. So the artillery strikes and the airstrikes are happening against several targets spread over a wide area at the moment.
I guess we'll know when we know. Dominic, for many years now, the United States has held up these Kurdish fighters in the east, the northeast of Syria, as really our best partners on the ground in the fight against ISIS. Even in the darkest days of the spreading caliphate, it was those Kurdish fighters whom the United States held up as really the saviors of the fight against ISIS. And I wonder what you know about their reaction, their leaders' reaction to being abandoned by the United States.
You hear that?
Well, there's a lot of anger. I mean, they've described this as betrayal. They've described it as a stab in the back. As you say, for years, they fought with U.S. backing against Islamic State. And this Turkish offensive, which is taking place today, has come, despite long warnings from Turkey, in effect, it's come very, very quickly following the phone call between Presidents Trump and Erdogan at the weekend on Sunday. So it's very dramatic, it's fast-paced, and for the Kurdish fighters, who, as you say, have been fighting with the United States for years and years, it's a moment of deep disappointment and betrayal.
I have just seconds left, but from your extensive knowledge of the region, living and working, reporting in that region for so many years, how would the Russian President Vladimir Putin view the current events?
Well, on one level, I mean,
Vladimir Putin.
Russia
this is fucking Fox News.
Said it wasn't informed about this. It's not approving it in any way. On one level, there is a potential for the Russians who support President Bashar al-Assad to gain from this. If there is, if it leads to chaos,
Russia would gain
elsewhere in eastern Syria, which is currently under the Kurdish control, the SDF control. That would give an opportunity for the Damascus government, backed by Russia, to move into some of the territory that they've not been able to control for a very long time in this long 8-year war.
Dominic Evans, the Reuters bureau chief there in Istanbul and a longtime correspondent of the region. We appreciate the partnership and your reporting today,
you
Dominic. Thank you.
Shut up. Shut up, Fox News.
God.
And that's so okay. So I think we've put a little bit of thought and a little bit of research into this, and we understand that, like, this didn't happen overnight. Trump didn't just move everybody out and now just destabilized him one day.
Right.
And even Fox News is falling victim to this, where this Turkish presence increasing in this area, and now Kurds are having to fight back, creating human shields, right? I'm doing air quotes there. But even Fox News is like fucking warmongering. What say you to that?
I mean, some reason they don't talk about all the weapons and training we've been providing for years. They didn't take that shit away. You know, they're still trained. They still got their weapons. Fight,
right.
Motherfucker, fight. I mean,
right.
Don't make human shield. The Viet Cong dug in. That's what you do. Dig deeper, motherfucker. You can survive bombings. Dig deeper. Shit.
What would Tulsi Gabbard say?
Tulsi Gabbard probably agree with Trump. Pull our troops back. It's not our fight. It's their fight. It's their problem. It's their fucking country. But then again, Obama kind of created this issue. So whose fault is it? I don't know.
That's tough to say.
I'm kind of with Crafter on that, too. I mean, it wouldn't destabilize in the matter of a couple of days. I mean, we've trained them, and you know, he's been pulling the military out more and more and more. So, I mean, yeah, we could train them, but we can't fight everybody else's war.
Hmm.
I mean, we're the country, like, when someone's in trouble, they call us. Because, you know, we we're just there. It's always, you know, we need some financial aid. Let's call the U.S. Oh, we got a war coming. Let's call the U.S.
Well, it's one thing to be the hero. It's another thing to be the bully. You know what I mean? And I think we get right. caught up in that. We're trying to be the hero out there, and we end up just being the schoolyard bully.
Right.
Like, you know, I mean, dare I say Israel? Fuck. I think that it, in all fairness, right, we've heard Sky News talk about it. We've heard perspective from Fox News, who, you know, up until a fucking, you know, 2 days ago was supporting the president. I mean, I listened to Brian Kilmeade in the morning, and he's had the motherfucker on the show. And I do appreciate Brian Kilmeade because he's on the right, but he also is critical of the president. But this is one that I'm like, huh, interesting. Like, you jumped into that same warmongering, you know. It's a tough situation to think about. It's a tough decision to make. And I think that world leaders and dictators and presidents all around fucking have to make hard decisions sometime. Far as following his, you know, campaign promise of America first, that might have been in line with that.
Right. What he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what he's doing. But let's hear it from the horse's mouth. We've already heard Fox News. We already see what Sky News is saying. We could go on to CNN, but dear God, why, you know? So let's see. Let's hear it from the horse's mouth. This is Fox News as well, but this is Trump speaking on at a press conference on this.
Oh, boy.
This is after his big press conference. This is, I believe, the informal after.
From the White House. Very short hit, and a hit on ISIS, but it didn't work out that way. They never left, and they've been there for many, many years. And we are—we were down to very few soldiers in Syria. We had 50 in the region that you're talking about, 50 soldiers, and they.
This is 2 days ago, by the way. Moved
out, but we'll see what happens with respect to a lot of different things. We've told Turkey. I spoke with President Erdogan of Turkey, and I said, got to treat him good. You got to take care of ISIS. Don't forget, we defeated this group, largely, defeated ISIS, 100% of the caliphate, 100%. And we wanted to do 100%. I was going to do this 9 months ago, and we were not at 100%, but we were pretty close. Everyone said, can we get to 100%? Now I get to 100%. And they say, well, maybe we could stay longer. I say, well, when do we get out? There's going to be a time we get out. We have to bring our people back home. And frankly, our great soldiers, I've been talking about this on the campaign. You go back 3 years ago and more, and you watch the speeches. We want to bring our soldiers back home. These are the endless wars.
Plucking the heartstrings.
And we're not
here.
Fighting. We're policing to a large extent. We're policing
it's very
in certain areas.
From
we're not
very
police.
First
we're
it's kind
these
of
are fighters, great fighters, up. The greatest in the world. Mm-hmm. And that's what they do. So I've told President Erdogan, I hope he's going to treat everybody with great respect. You have to understand, they've been fighting various of the people that we were working with, and Turkey's been fighting them for many years. Somebody said hundreds of years.
The basketball.
You just mentioned him yesterday, 200 years, maybe more. At some point, we have to bring our people back home, and that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing.
Is it a firm decision, sir?
It's always a firm decision. And last time I made a firm decision, but I said we'll do it over a period of time. We've been doing this actually over a period of time,
right.
Over a very long period of time. And we've been working with the people in this room, and our soldiers have been coming back over that period of time. I think that one of the very big factors when we defeated ISIS, we have thousands right now of ISIS fighters and families. We have family members, wives, children. And many of them come out of Europe. They come out of Germany. They come out of France and other countries of Europe. And I told them, you have to take these people back. You have to take them back, give them trials, do whatever you have to do. And they said, no, we don't want to do that. I said, well, you have to do that. That's not fair to the American taxpayer. It's not fair to America. It's not fair to the United States not to do that. But they chose...
At least it's consistent.
Again, you got to take them back.
Go back, all y'all.
Take care of 60, 70,000 people. And we're not going to move the fighters to Guantanamo Bay and take care of them for many, many years into the future.
Take care of them as in make them suck our dicks.
We defeated the caliphate 100%. Now it's time for Germany and France and all of the nations where they came from to take them back. And they chose no. And maybe they'll change. Maybe they're going to change their tune now. I don't know. But in the meantime, we'll have to rely on the European nations. We'll have to rely on various other nations. As an example, Iran, Iraq, Turkey, Syria, Russia, and some other nations to take care of these fighters. But the American taxpayer is not going to spend 50 years of paying tax or whatever it may be that they're wherever they may be. For instance, Guantanamo, or for instance, prisons and the...
What do you think of that last statement? Like, it's up to these other countries to take care of this issue, not the United States. We're not putting our tax dollars into it. What do you think of that?
I mean, I like the statement. But I also like that, you know, he's a business guy. He's not a numbers guy.
I mean, yeah, I feel like that's common in business for sure. He doesn't have the specifics. He's got the gist of it.
Yeah, it's I mean, and I kind of agree. I mean, at some point it needs to stop. But you know, it's, for some reason it has been shown in this way. It's a withdrawal. It's us leaving Syria. It's over. It's like all media sides are saying this. Everyone's saying it's a real negative thing. Obviously there are still troops there. There are still some troops in Iraq, which is right there next to it. And it seems just like Turkey is being allowed to annex part of Syria. It seems like that's really what's happening.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that it's a tough situation. I feel for the Kurdish people because they've been on our side for so long. And, you know, their people have traveled far and wide to try to hide themselves so that they're not persecuted. You know what I mean? That's just such a crazy way to live.
And yeah, they lost 11,000 soldiers in their battle against ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Syria.
Wow. And yet still in their country get treated like terrorists. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
But it's all perspective, man. This shit's fucking crazy. That's why it's a tough decision, you know? But what I find most interesting is how the narrative is pushed. It's like just wide open to like, no, never-ending war. We have to keep this going. You know, I have to keep the war machine going. The same people that fucking give us Sleepy Creepy Joe. Have you heard how Sleepy Creepy Joe has come out against Trump recently?
Yeah, the supposedly anti-war party, right? Anti-war party.
Who are you talking about? The Democrats?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was their thing with Bush. And then, you know, Obama's like, oh, I'm going to end all the wars and I'm going to close Guantanamo. I mean,
nah.
Didn't do any of that shit, but he said he was. Nah. So they're anti-war party, right? Anti-war.
He just went drone strikes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without court.
Well, I've been obsessed with Sleepy Creepy Joe lately, who was Obama's vice president, interestingly enough. Yet, very interesting.
Don't get too obsessed because he might like it. I don't think he has a preference, Miles.
Really?
Yeah.
You're saying Joe Biden's bisexual?
I don't think he has a preference. I think he can get it wherever he gets it.
I think he likes young girls.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, same.
I'll go on a limb and say that he was probably friends with Jeffrey Epstein.
What?
He was definitely on one flight with him for sure, at least.
Oh, yeah. Was that confirmed?
Yes.
Interesting. Were they on their way to...
Some charity. And there was other people there, too. But still, whatever. He talked to the guy. They're friends. Fuck him. Fuck him. Creepy Joe.
Fuck anybody associated with Jeffrey Epstein. You know, my condolences to all of the victims, obviously.
Bill Clinton.
I just cannot believe, I'm going to go on a little bit of a tangent. How the hell did they let him commit suicide? And I say commit suicide with quotations. I don't believe he committed suicide.
Same.
See, I don't think anyone does. I don't think anyone buys it.
I don't understand. He probably kept dirt on everybody. It's just, that is the worst thing that they, that I think we failed on, or someone failed. And, you know, it's old news now. We're not talking about it anymore.
Right. But that, I'm glad that you brought it up, because that's no absolutely
one,
right.
No one has still served Zora Ranch. No one has served.
I was just about to say that. No. Zora Ranch here in New Mexico still stands untouched. The only thing that has gone on is like drone footage comparing days. And definitely there's been a cleanup attempt at, on the property. You know what I mean? Like the, and still no one in New Mexico, no one wants anyone to trace the fucking money. So no one's fucking going over there and like serving papers and getting shit checked out. You know, it's fucked up. It's like the rich and government and nepotism privilege protecting their own. It's like, yes, how fucking cops act, man.
Yes. Just, yeah. I think Epstein had dirt on everybody. I think he's too much of a coward to take his own life. I think he was relying on that dirt to keep him safe. And I think someone put a hit on him. Clinton.
By the way, word up to Dank21. I agree. Democrats just don't give a crap when their people start the wars. They screech and whine.
Pizza-related maps.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. If the Republicans start wars, though. It's true. Like, it's both sides, though. That's the point of this. It's like, fucking, we're getting this from both sides. Asshole's trying to be fucking saying that this is different. You know, there's different stories. But that's not the case. What's actually going on is divide and conquer of our nation, so that fucking we're easily controlled. And people can just, we're plugged into a matrix and make money off of us. It's just kind of like a more physical version of that. And breaking the chains of that is fucking thinking for yourself and realizing like you are in control of your destiny, not the fucking government.
Right.
Fucking speaking of which, I want to get through a couple more clips and then we could fucking lull back into conversation. I just don't want to forget about Creepy Joe. And I feel it's good that we remind ourselves of this going to 2020.
This is a big fucking deal.
This is a big fucking deal, man. We need iSlut. It ain't going to happen. So Trump 2020, it's just going to happen, I feel. And the whole this is why we're going to get Trump 2020, is because of Joe Biden and the whole impeachment thing. It's going to create an environment where Trump's going to seem like he's being persecuted against, and people are going to go for it. Like, dude, we've had enough of this bullshit. Let's get actual politics done. Trump 2020. But here's the reason why. Joe Biden angrily firing back at Trump. This is obviously CNN.
Before you, I'm going to make a quick statement here. We got to get something straight. All this talk of the president about corruption comes from the most corrupt president we've had in modern history.
Oh, my dear God.
The definition of corruption. He's corrupted the agencies of government, from the Defense Department, from the State Department, from the Justice Department, all about making sure that he, in fact, allows somebody else to pick his opponent for him.
Dude, this is coming from fucking Creepy Joe.
And I am not going to stand for it. And I'm not going to respond to it. I'm not going to talk about anything other than what the facts are.
You're responding.
He's indicted himself.
And that's what he's doing.
Statements. This is not about me. It's not about my son. There's not a shred of evidence. There's anything done that's been wrong. And so I'll take your question.
The mayor said that you didn't support an impeachment inquiry unless the White House was stonewalling document requests. The White House is, Democrats are having trouble getting documents. Do you now support the impeachment inquiry?
No, I said from the beginning, the constitutional process, notwithstanding what he calls it, he calls the impeachment proceeding a coup. A coup. He talks about how we should handle whistleblowers. He talks about there will be a civil war.
Shout out to Edward Snowden.
This is the guy that's unhinged. He is unhinged. I worry about what he's going to do, not about me or my family. I worry about
what you're going to do, Joe Biden.
Presidency, as this thing continues to rot on his watch.
So much time in the Senate. The Senate is where there would be a trial of this president. If you were in the Senate, would you vote to convict and remove Donald Trump?
I am not going to speculate what I would do in the Senate. I'm a former vice president. I know what occurred in Ukraine. I know what occurred in terms of China. I know what occurred in terms of Russia. This is a president
trying to get two of our most
doesn't he have his hands in Ukraine too? I'm just saying.
Look at this photograph.
Decide who he runs against. This guy, like all bullies, is a coward. He does not want to run against me. That's what this is about.
How is your role?
Yes, I stand by that statement.
How was your role as vice president in charge of policy in Ukraine and your son's job in Ukraine? How is that not a conflict of interest?
It's not a conflict of interest. There's been no indication of any conflict of interest from Ukraine or anywhere else. Period. I'm not gonna respond to that. Let's focus on this man, what he's doing that no president has ever done.
He literally said president. Let's focus on this president. He's never done anything this bad ever.
I have no idea whether it was or not.
Right now you're talking about this and you're saying that you're only going to talk about the facts, right? How do you prevent this, though, from being
truth over facts?
Burden to your candidacy, as everybody here is talking about it, it's going to follow you around.
Because the irony of all ironies is you press people are doing your job. You're pointing out when he's flat lying, where there is no evidence, none, not a scintilla, not one little tiny piece. The American people know me and they know him. They know, even the people who support him know this man lacks character. Even the people who support him know he lies constantly. So look, I'm not worried about what, here's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that he gets so unhinged with a year left to go in this administration, he does something really, really, really stupid in terms of our international interest. I don't mean about our election. That's already, he's basically acknowledged he's tried to get people to interfere in our election. Let other people decide who the candidate was going to be. But the fact of the matter is, I worry, and you do too in your heart. The fact of the matter is, you know, you wonder what this guy's going to do. Have you ever seen, a rhetorical question, a president ever so unhinged as this guy is?
That's a fucking narrative. Just like, no, nothing's going on in Ukraine. No, not a scintilla of evidence. We should be paying attention to the president doing things that he's never done before. That's Sleepy Joe for you. How do you like that? How do you like them apples? You expect anything less?
Sniffa, sniffa, younger, older, make no differ.
God damn it. Oh my God. That's fucking creepy. Exactly.
Oh my God. He's so full of shit. I am so sorry. He's so defensive and you know, he says all these things, but he doesn't cite examples. Like, okay, show me where Trump's been wrong.
But that's the media's job in his opinion. The media's job to point out all his lies. The media's job they're doing a good job of it. That's the irony of it. You guys have to hold it tight to me because you're showing the truths of the president. I'm not going to play all of this next clip. This is Joe Biden as well. But there's just this – it's like, it gets to about 3 minutes, 50 seconds, man, that you're like, wow, this is what we're cheering for. The left is completely insane. This is Joe Biden calls for Trump's impeachment for the first time on CNN.
The ballot box is sacred ground.
It starts off good, huh?
That's where we make our voices heard. That's where we decide who leads us. That's where we chart America's future. It's where we fulfill our duty as citizens. It's not complicated. It's called democracy. We believe Americans should decide American elections, period. But Donald Trump will do anything to get reelected, including violating the most basic forms of democracy. It's stunning, and it's dangerous because it directly threatens our democracy. This is not hyperbole. It's a fact. No president in American history has ever dared to engage in such unimaginable behavior.
with his words and his actions, President Trump has indicted himself by obstructing justice, refusing to comply with the congressional inquiry. He's already convicted himself. In full view of the world and the American
people, it's over.
Donald Trump has violated his oath of office, betrayed this nation, and committed impeachable acts. You know?
Yes! Thank you, Joe Biden, for pointing that out to us. You say the words we exactly wanted to hear from you.
To preserve our Constitution, our democracy.
Yay, president's getting impeached. Integrity. Fucking blows my mind.
He should be impeached. That's not only because of what he's done. To answer whether he has committed acts of sufficient to warrant impeachment is obvious. We see it in Trump's own words. We see it in the text from State Department officials that have been made public. We see it in his pulling much of the United States government into his corrupt schemes, individuals within the government, his appointees. But we have to remember that impeachment isn't only about what the president's done. It's about the threat the president poses to the nation if allowed to remain in office. One thing about this president is absolutely clear, and I don't think anyone can contradict this. He has seen no limits to his power, regardless of what the Constitution says. He believes the entire United States government can be corrupted into furthering his personal political needs. He's even willing to hold Congress and congressionally appropriated aid to a foreign nation hostage to his personal political demands. He believes if he does something, it's legal, period. And perhaps most importantly, he believes there is nothing we can do about it. He believes he can and will get away with anything he does. We all laughed when he said he could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot someone and get away with it. It's no joke. He's shooting holes in the Constitution, and we cannot let him get away with it.
You know, I'd love it if a politician stood up and said something that was constructive to America and to our further growth as a nation, and people cheered that. That would be really cool.
I mean, I haven't heard that, but I mean, I'm amazed that Joe was able to keep it together through that and not fuck up. Speechwriter did a pretty good job. I mean,
that is good call considering some of his the clip most before recent
he was stuttering just through giving like 2-sentence interview. I mean he was able to, you know, really try to hit it home there. I don't like Trump. Me personally, I don't like Trump. I feel like personally, on a personal level, he's morally wrong that, you know, he's cheated on, you know, 3 wives, that he would probably fuck me just like he's fucked them, you know, like
your money out of your money or like in the butt.
I mean, out of my money. Doing business with him, he wouldn't think twice to try to fuck me over. Just like he tried to fuck every one of his wives over for a hotter one. You know, it's something to say about someone's character, you know, and who they're willing to betray.
I think I'm just curious when Joe Biden said he's shooting holes in the Constitution. Shooting. I wonder how many people were triggered by that word.
I mean, devil's advocate, he did take away bump stocks. I mean, that's kind of impeding on our Second Amendment right a bit.
I mean, that's more than Obama ever did to ban guns. And he tried to sell a whole bunch of illegal ones to Mexico and hide it. I mean, shit. Obama gave guns, and Trump took parts of guns away. And that's upsetting.
Obama fucking took away BDs, man. I miss those. Yeah.
Motherfucker. Flavored
taking cigarettes. Away my flavored cigarettes, motherfucker. Fuck it, I don't need cigarettes in my life. Fucking, I have other clips, but wow, tonight's just like, with the third person, we're just like getting deep. You know what I mean? I wanted to go into a little bit of Neil deGrasse Tyson on fucking Stephen Colbert show. Yeah, I mean, fucking, you know, the whole thing with, I mean, he went on Joe Rogan again for the third time recently, and Joe Rogan softballed him. He avoided that question, you know. Although it seemed like DeGrasse Tyson kind of came on with an with like a chip on his shoulder. It wasn't the normal like relaxed like hippie like fucking feeling the vibes of the cosmos scientists that we're used to seeing. You know, he's kind of unhinged a little bit.
I just want to say real quick, I'm sorry. Pluto is still a planet.
Oh, New Mexico loves you for saying that, by the way. I think that New Mexico hated Neil deGrasse Tyson first because the person that discovered Pluto was from New Mexico. It was from a planetary or from a
it's a fucking planet. They say they had it on Saved by the Bell as a planet. It's a planet.
God damn it. Of course.
I mean, what is it if it's not a planet? What is it if it's not a planet?
It's a ball of ice that's caught in our gravitational field.
Is there anything else like it?
Yeah. Really? There's a lot of other things that are like it and bigger than it in its vicinity.
Does it have its own orbit? I mean, I guess everything's in orbit, technically.
Yeah, exactly. Everything, down to your every cell, if you want to get fucking technical about shit.
I don't know. I want to call it a planet, too. I don't want it. I want nine planets.
It's because you're from New Mexico, bro. That's why. It's fucking New Mexicans, fucking Texans and shit.
Hey! bitch.
Fucking Texans and shit. Fucking Pluto's not a planet. That's what made me like Neil deGrasse Tyson, but it makes me dislike him is the allegations. Should we listen to it? Do you want to listen to it? You got time for one more?
Sure.
All right, because I like this. I have mixed feelings about him now with the allegations, and I think a lot of people do. But it'll be interesting. It's interesting to hear his response. You know how people interact with, like, receive him, right? And I'm not sure how much that's TV magic. And then the question, I'm not going to play this whole clip, but the question that fucking Colbert asked right off the bat, you know, he doesn't fucking beat around the bush, which this is the first time I'm like, wow, Colbert, you did, although your shit's contrived, you went out there and asked him.
I believe he's connected to the CIA as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, my first guest tonight is the director of the Hayden Planetarium at the American Museum of Natural History, the host of Star Talk and Cosmos, and the author of the new book, Letters from an Astrophysicist. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
So, you know, people are receiving him. You don't hear any boos out in the crowd.
Good to see you again.
Hey.
Always hey, pleasant.
You look at me like you missed my vest or something.
Where I was looking for the vest. I realize it's gone.
No, not today. Mm-hmm.
Are you just wearing it underneath the shirt? Like a hair shirt?
Vest, yeah, it's under the shirt, yeah.
Yeah. We were talking backstage before you came out here, and as I said to you there, people ask me all the time who my favorite guest is on the show, and I always say it's Neil Tyson, and people seem to understand that. And one of the reasons that you're one of the easiest guests to have on, because if I'm lucky, I'll get a word in edgewise. But my first question
this is
to you
where
is
his
not an easy
face
question.
Gets a little bit gone.
Because you haven't been here for a year, and in that past year, you were accused of sexual misconduct by a few women. Now, I know there were some investigations. There were three investigations?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And at the end of those, they did not find any grounds to dismiss you from your job at the Hayden Planetarium or over on Star Talk or Cosmos over on Fox. But, you know, regardless of that outcome, I can't imagine that that was a particularly satisfying result for you or these women who have said that they're not satisfied by that result. What has this last year been like for you?
It's been very long, and it's been, when I think about what I valued over that time, it was in particular just the value of support from family, from friends even such as you, even, and
quiet
especially fans. who were there the whole time, and they're there now, receiving all that I do for them, trying to bring the universe down to earth for whoever will listen.
I think a lot of people during the last couple of years of sort of the elevation or the expansion of the Me Too movement have been asked questions, what can we learn from this? What did you
maybe
learn
that's why he had
over
to have
the
him
last
him.
Year? Regardless of what the outcome is here, what did you learn?
Yeah, that's what I learned. I learned that I had friends in time of need and in time of stress. That's what I learned from this year. And you know, as a scientist, most of my time I'm just thinking objectively about the world, thinking a little less about emotion, about feelings, about and when I needed it most, people were there for me. Again, family.
What do you think?
I mean, he never says, I did not rape these women. That's the one thing he's not saying.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Yeah, I hear a lot of like, yeah, I'm coping with this.
Yeah. I have a lot of good family and friends, and they supported me when they found out I was a rapist.
Yeah. It was a long time ago. It was a coconut that I carved out long, long ago.
I was too busy thinking about science than thinking about, you know, this bitch I was holding down might be upset about it.
All right.
I was thinking of the biology of getting my semen out of my penis.
Yep, and I was thinking the logic behind busting a nut as opposed to this girl's feelings.
But what I am now is a man who describes the universe and the cosmos, and I bring it down to Earth for whoever may listen. So it's okay that I rape people because I'm like a space Jesus.
I'm like a space Bill Cosby. He's fucking totally space Cosby.
Space Cosby.
What do you think? What do you think, Powerful Ho? Fucking Me Too groveling or DeGrasse Tyson didn't do nothing wrong?
I haven't really looked into this story very, very much. I don't know how I guess this story is what, how old? Maybe a month and a half old?
I mean, the story itself, I feel like has been a year that a year ago he was accused. And then he just was on the Colbert show last night or two nights ago. So this is like the first time, even doing a public appearance on Joe Rogan, none of this was brought up, which I thought was curious because Joe Rogan was saying shit about it. Mm-hmm. He's like, ooh, my buddy's in trouble. You know,
well, like I said, I mean, I haven't really followed it as much as, the Cosby thing and whatever. I don't know, man. I need a little, you know, the feminists are going to kill me, but I need a little bit more, just some words now, because there's so many exaggerations. I mean, you could take a look at that. That judge, oh God, what's his butt? The big one that was just voted into the Supreme Court.
Judge Kavanaugh?
Yeah. You can look into that Kavanaugh fiasco and you know that all that was bullshit. Because, yeah. You know, because I know when I was assaulted in my teens and I tried very, 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 very hard to not remember it. And I did a good job about it, but I can still remember what I wore, where it happened, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, you know, being in my teens and thinking it was my fault, I never reported it or anything like that. But, and that's the reason why I knew that the Kavanaugh was bullshit, because she couldn't recall anything really. I don't know, man. It's kind of like the Kevin Spacey thing. I really did not want to believe when the first accuser came out, but when there was multiple accusers, you kind of have to stop and listen. He had what, three accusers?
Not sure. I remember remember the last one was a young boy though.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
I guess, being a victim of that kind of assault, I mean, when you put yourself, when you talk about it, that was a bot. When you're really, I was like, okay, I'm getting boring. No, but you were reliving it again when you redo it. And because it's a public figure, you're getting scrutinized too. I'm on the fence on this a lot because it kind of also, we have to be careful because there's been situations, especially when it was in the 70s, all a white woman would have to do was say, this black guy abused me. It would be her word. They would take her word, and then they would go and hang the black guy. You know, end of story. I mean, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah.
All they had was her word in that movie. And they, you know, they did. We just got to be very careful. And of course, you know, I have no evidence of my attack since it was so long ago. Mm. So you just got to kind of listen to the details and see if things add up.
Interesting.
I know. I'm just so on the wall. I just, if it's one accuser, it depends on how much details they know. If it's several, then.
Yeah, I mean, Neil deGrasse Tyson, it's a hard one to swallow, but three mm-hmm. different people came forward.
Mm-hmm.
And similar stories about this coconut basin thing a cup made out of a coconut shell with a strange liquid that made them feel sleepy.
So it's consistent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With all three?
Don't quote me on that. I mean, I need a Gary, but...
If it was consistent, then, I mean, I look for that kind of pattern.
Space Cosby. So,
yeah, well, Cosby, space. You know.
Tropical Cosby. Space Cosby.
Cosby had a pattern. And so, I mean, predators, you know, after the first time, what works for them, they have a tendency not to change things up.
Indeed. Or become more brazen as they get fucking used to the process.
Exactly. Yep. Man, yep.
I think that's pretty common with any like major deviation in societal norms. You see that with like murder for sure too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fucking murder.
Murder.
Meat is murder. I love meat. I love me some cow farts too. There's this meme floating around. It's the best. I'm gonna have to post it somewhere. Join Verbose Discord. Fucking check out our meme section. You'll find it there. But it's Alexandria Ocasio Cortez holding on to that fence in fucking Mexico, and she's making this face like fucking there's an explosion or something. The next scene is a cow farting with like burning methane coming out of its asshole, and then the next scene after that is like her as a skeleton, that scene from fucking the Terminator when the whole world
Sarah
gets blown.
Connor holding onto the fence.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
that's what's gonna happen to us. We're gonna die from cow farts.
This is the cow fart.
Yeah.
There's no way. It's all the other things. No way.
Yeah.
You know, I think what's going to happen is, and actually me and my this tonight, I think what's going to happen is humans are going to eventually use all the resources on this planet and then find another nth-class planet to settle and use the resources from there. I think we got a lot of evolving to do.
Yeah.
Because the Earth is 4.5 billion years old. And humans have been around for 300 to 200,000. So if you think about it, that's so small that our mark has been on this planet. And I think we just got so much more evolving to do. And I don't think it's, you know, any changes, any permanent changes that we see in this lifetime. So it's not going to happen in my generation or next generation or generation over that. It's going to take several hundred generations for us to kind of evolve to where we're beyond our selfish needs and start, we're not motivated by selfishness. We're going to evolve beyond that. I don't know. I'm hoping for a Star Trek type of society.
I was just about to say, are you thinking some like, like fourth tier society fucking Star Trek scenario? That sounds a lot like socialism to me. I'm so glad that I live in a Wild West period of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. It's the closest thing I'll get to the Wild Wild West. Better than getting shot in the dick, that's for sure. 90s were really fucking cool. I like shooting guns and doing donuts and shit. I like this level of freedom. I like the fact that I could be in America and be, to a certain extent, selfish. I'm just going to have fun and do whatever the fuck I want. China, your leader looks like fucking Winnie the Pooh. I just wanted to fucking throw that out there. if we haven't been banned in China yet, what the fuck is that? Tiananmen Square, 1984.
Yeah. Fuck you. Fuck you, China. Free speech. Mm. Fucking maybe I'll just block your IP before you block me. Fuck a dick, China. Fuck you.
Yeah. And shout out to all my motherfuckers out in Hong Kong holding
free
it down
Hong
hard.
Kong. Free Hong Kong.
Free Hong Kong. Free Hong Kong.
Hell yeah.
You guys are fucking badasses over there. I think that, you know, right now Syria should be looking at Hong Kong and thinking, like, if we want to make this work, let's hold the shit down.
Right.
We already know Syria. What was Syria on the spectrum? Not the autistic spectrum, but the gender fluid sexuality spectrum. Is it pansexual?
It's something over there. Yeah.
Well, definitely Egypt is bisexual. I would say that.
God.
And then straight yeah, that straight Palestine be straight Palestine be. But the one thing that is definitely for sure. The gay is real. We're here. We're pretty queer. And oh, I must say tonight, thank you so much for coming on the show. Like, seriously, we only scratched the surface as far as, tossing around the ideas in this intellectual, sub-intellectual fishbowl. And maybe you'll come on the show again. And we could fucking hash it out a little bit more.
That'd be really cool. And you guys are awesome. And I appreciate that you guys listen to, different viewpoints, and not that I think that, to your point, we didn't divert all that much. I think we found a lot of common ground.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
I think that's where it's at. Speaking of which, things that we missed tonight that I will maybe bring to you next week if they're not totally stale. T.I. Has his own podcast. It's called Expediously, I believe is what it's called. Alex Jones was on there today. Literally fucking 9 hours ago, Alex Jones was on T.I.'s motherfucking podcast. Shout out to Alex Jones. You don't want to be on that small time shit with T.I. Come on, Verbose. That's what it's all the fuck about. Can't fuck around with this shit. Again, we're here. We're only semi-queer. I suck dick, but I say no homo.
I like peen.
Ho likes peen. You throw him peen out there, fucking throw it her way. She'll definitely take it. Joe Biden. Bruh, you need to fucking take some ginkgo biloba and fucking get you some adult diapers. Let's see. Fucking, oh yeah, Craig Wright, just stop, man. The haircut's too much, bro. You're old as fuck. Coin Geek's the only one sucking your dick. I don't give a fuck about BSVs. By the way, the true Satoshi got your money, motherfucker. Way to scam, bitch. Verbose.xyz, what else can I say? Holding it down for America. And for the rest of the world. Shout out to my peeps again in Hong Kong. Fucking from Russia with love. Can't fuck around. Yeah, and Ho, come on the show anytime. Crafter, fucking roast beef. Needs friends too. Yeah, what can I say? We'll see you next time. Peace out. Deuces, y'all.
See ya. I'm the highest in the room. Hope I make it out of here. Stressing about the loot. Pop lock made a case of real. This not the molly, this the boot. Ain't no coming back from here. Live a life a lot familiar.
so much gain that I can't see her. Turn it up till they can't hear. Running, running around for the thrill. Yeah, dog, dog, run my reel. Raw, raw, I've been going to the real. Nah, nah, not in the back of the veal. Gorgeous, baby, keep me hard and still. Been on this since we was kids. I fill my mind up with ideas. Cases fumes. She fill my mind up with ideas. I'm the highest in the room. Hope I make it out of here.